This summer, SAIL returns to the Ocean County Library System. SAIL, which stands for Service and Achievement in the Library, is our summer volunteer program open to teens entering 8th through 12th grade. This short but intense summer program provides you work experience and allows you to earn volunteer hours for helping your local branch and the community. If you're interested, simply apply on the Ocean County Library's website. Go to the oceancountylibrary.org/teens/sale. Select your home library and complete the application. Applications go live on May 1st. However, there are limits to the number of volunteers that can participate in person. Sessions will fill on a first-come, first-served basis, so don't wait too long to apply. Lastly, please contact your local branch teen services librarian with any concerns and or questions. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, and welcome to Waves of YA, a podcast focused on young adult literacy, brought to you by the Ocean County Library's Teen Literacy Work Group.
Hi, welcome to Waves of YA. In this episode, we are going to be speaking with the author, Sierra Isley. I am Chris Maloney at the Island Heights branch, and with me is...
Summer Gales. I am the librarian at the Long Beach Island branch.
And we have with us...
Hi, I'm Sierra Isley. I'm an author originally from Atlanta, Georgia, but right now I live in Philadelphia. In my book, In the Ring, a YA romance, released in September 2023, it's about a girl with anxiety who starts boxing to cope with her anxiety and trauma, but gets roped into an underground fight club and its ringleader. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me. This is my second ever podcast, so I'm definitely new to the podcast world, so bear with me.
No worries. We are super excited to have you. I saw this listed as one of the options for the podcast, and I was so excited. I was like, yes, this book looks great. Oh. And it was such a fun read where it was like a little bit of everything, which leads us into our, technically it's our second question, but that was a good segue, so we're going to take advantage of it. In the Ring has several different plot elements, which you had mentioned, going on all at once in a wide variety of topics, ranging from attempted assault, anxiety, grief, to romance and fight club. Did you receive any pushback from your publisher about this?
So when I first started trying to get the book published, I started by finding a literary agent, which is like someone who represents you to send the book out to publishers. So that journey is kind of like trying to find a publisher in which you're pitching the book to a bunch of different literary agents and hoping that one of them likes it enough to represent you. So when that started, I definitely got a ton of pushback from literary agents. There were just a lot who either were like, you know, this isn't for me, or who would reply and be like, it feels a little adult for YA. So it was not the easiest task to find an agent for the book. Luckily, I did find one who really loved the story and believed in it. And then we went to the next process, which was trying to find a publisher for it. And we ran into the same problem. A lot of publishers just weren't sure if it would fit in YA or if it needed to be adult. Some of them just didn't see the vision of it, which is totally fine. Not everyone's going to connect with the book. But when we found the publisher who went to publish In the Ring, the reason why I said yes and I was so excited to work with them was because they didn't have problems with that at all. They didn't want to cut anything. They didn't want to change the heart of the story. And that was really exciting for me because at that point, I'd kind of accepted that I was going to have to fundamentally change it because of all the rejections that I was getting. But luckily, my publisher really believed in it and saw what I was trying to do. And they didn't really push back at all on most of those topics.
That's awesome.
That is. When I was growing up, YA publishing was like so narrow, where it was you get one topic and like 150 pages to cover it. So like having this book where it's like pulling in everything was really cool. And when you were writing it, why did you choose to include all of these elements in it?
Well, a lot of it was based on my own life. And when I went back and read it and started asking myself if there was anything that I felt like I could cut, every time I thought that through, I was like, no, that kind of fundamentally changes the story. Like I felt myself really connected to all of these different themes. And I honestly just didn't want to let them go. I mean, maybe that's for the better or worse. I'm not really sure. But when I did consider it, the story itself just kind of fell apart. So I knew that going in that it was going to be a tough sell. I didn't expect people to be super excited about all of these really dark, intense topics going on in a YA book. But I hoped that what I was trying to say would come out. And I wrote the book when I was 19. So I was technically a young adult at the time. Like, I was writing for myself and my audience, essentially. And that was the kind of book that I wanted to read when I was 17, 18, and 19. And so I kind of went into it with that mindset where I was like, I kind of know the YA audience at this point. I'm only 19 and I feel like other people will like it. So that gave me a little bit of confidence moving forward through all the rejections I was getting.
It does feel really cohesive with it, all of it being like woven together so well. And when I was listening to it, I was like, because I listened to it as an audiobook, I was like, oh, all this happened in one weekend. And it was like a very intense weekend, it felt like, for Rose. And I was like, but that's what being a teenager is like, where you're like, things are going amazing, things are terrible, and it's been less than 24 hours. It was like, that really felt like it captured being a teenager, where it's like everything is like crammed into like such a short period of time, because you're measuring things by like the weekend, by the school week, by the school year. Yeah. Whereas like when you're an adult, you're like, I'm at work every day. Like, it's kind of the same over and over again, whereas like they've got like little snippets of time where things are broken up into as a teenager.
I was just gonna say, there's also that added pressure of college and what you're gonna do after high school in the background all the time. For me, that was a huge topic. It's like I couldn't go a day my senior year of high school without somebody asking me about college or the future. So that made time even harder to tell.
It's so interesting that you wrote the book when you were 19 years old, because I feel like that makes it so much more authentic as a young adult book. Often when you're writing a young adult book, you're an adult writing it. And even though you remember what it feels like to be a teenager, there's a different kind of authenticity if you're actually a teenager when you originally wrote it. Wasn't the author of Divergent really young when she wrote her books originally?
I think she was in college when she wrote it. I think I read that story. So pretty close to 19. I was a freshman in college.
Yeah. I think that's very cool. Very interesting. Especially when your readers are going to be a similar age to that.
Yeah. And now, I mean, I'm only 23, but if I sat down to try and write YA, like the second book I was working on, I thought going into it that it would be YA, and I already felt like I couldn't really capture that young teen voice anymore. I was already just kind of forgetting what high school was like, because my life right now, it's not high school anymore. It's been about college and adulthood and that kind of thing. So I don't know, as I keep getting older and keep writing, if I'm going to try and write more YA or if I'm going to stick to like right now I'm doing new adult, because that's where I am right now in my age. But it gave me a newfound respect for older authors who write YA, because a lot of them have really mastered that teen voice. And even I, just a few years out of being a teenager, I feel like I've kind of lost it already. So,
no, I totally agree. Like, I always joke within my workspace, I'm always the youngest one in any room. I'm only 3 years older than yourself. And I feel like high school is such a microcosm.
Yeah,
it's like its own little universe, its own little ecosystem. So when you leave it, even if you just left it and you're entering college or the workforce, your world has shifted so abruptly and so hugely.
Yeah.
So like, when did I graduate high school? Almost. Well, actually, for me, it'll be in 2025. It'll be 10 years. I'll be 10 years out of high school. That's correct, right? Wait. Yes, that's correct. I had to do math in my head for a second. So it is such a shift.
I experienced that too, with seeing it. And my high school's so fast and teens change so quickly because it's 4 years and it's a whole new set of kids. We're trying to catch what the teens are doing. By the time you've figured it out, it's already too late and moved on. So whenever I see authors like writing teens, it's really cool to see the ones that come through authentically, and like yours came through so authentically. And it is hard to be like, well, they were into it, but like publishing also takes such a long time.
Yeah.
Where by the time it comes out, is it relevant? There's books that I've read that I'm like, this has a shelf life of a year because of how long it took, and all the references are super dated as is.
That was something that my publisher and I kind of went back and forth about, because she would see a reference and be like, does anyone know who that is anymore? And I'm like, well, I thought that I was young and hip, but she's probably right. Like, some of the things that I was talking about were my generation at the time, but the book just came out, which is, what, like 3-4 year difference that people are reading it now. So some of the things that I brought up in the book, I think are not relevant anymore. So I feel like that's why a lot of pop culture references and YA books can feel kind of weird. Like sometimes I'll read one that's really steeped in pop culture references and I'm like, I wonder what this is going to feel like 10 years from now when nobody's talking about these memes and making jokes and stuff. So that's an interesting point.
Oh, I don't know. I think they're always funny. I think they're always funny when you see something like, although that was my problem. Not that this is a pop culture reference. It's not. But like I had issues with seeing references to COVID in fiction because I was just like, I don't want that in my fiction. I had that in my reality. I don't want COVID in my fiction.
Yeah. And publishing takes so long that I feel like right now is probably when that first wave of books that mentions COVID is going to be coming out. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but that's what I would assume because that was like 2020. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. I mean, COVID's still happening.
Oh, yes. I just mean lockdown, like yeah. The original lockdown is what I was referring to.
Yeah, I don't think I could pick up a book about lockdown right now. I think that it would just bring back too many memories. It hits a little too close to home right now. I think books for me are meant to be an escape. And I don't think that's something that I feel like would be escapism right now.
No, I agree.
I was actually going to just ask about, for the timeline of your book, was it affected by COVID? Because it's such a recent book. And you said you started it about 3-ish, yeah. 4 years ago. So like that had to have affected it too, of like writing and then also publishing, and everything in the world got affected by that. So did that affect your writing process or your publication process with it?
I started writing in my freshman year of college, which was 2019. So that was before COVID. I had a lot of free time, which is why I started writing the book in the first place. Because for once I was like, I actually have some time to try and do something exciting and creative. What should it be? And that's when I landed on a book, because growing up, that had always been a dream of mine, but I just hadn't actually set out to do it. So I decided that I was going to do it. And I worked on it all throughout my freshman year. Then sophomore year started and I was in film school, which was very demanding and time consuming. So I didn't really have a lot of time to keep working on the book. And the book at that stage was kind of a mess. I hadn't done a great job at plotting it. You know, there was just a lot of loose ends and I knew that it was going to need a very big revision. And I was very intimidated by that because I had such limited time. So it kind of got pushed to the back of my mind. It was just something I was doing way, way in the background. But then of course, COVID happened. And so we go into lockdown. I went back home. My parents at the time were living at the beach, which was very nice and good for creativity. And I have a vivid memory of pulling out my laptop, sitting outside and writing for days on end. I had nothing else to do. Classes were online. I wasn't exactly making films because nobody was leaving their house. And so that's really when the bulk of the book got done, was during the lockdown, because I finally had a lot more free time and nothing else to do except write. And it was a great escape for me to not be stressed about everything going on around me, but to just focus in on this world that I was creating. So I'm trying to think of when I signed with my literary agent. It must have been 2020 or early 2021. I don't know off the top of my head, but the process was definitely very slow. I think people were just overworked. They were taking care of kids and things that they didn't have to do before COVID happened because there were no schools open or daycare and that kind of stuff. So I think the publishing industry really, really slowed down. For me, I didn't know the difference because this was my first book ever published. I had no idea that it was this slow. From what I've heard from other people, it used to be faster. I mean, it's always been a slow industry, but from what I've heard, COVID really ramped that up. And so when I went on submission with the book to try and find a publisher, I was on submission for a year, which sounds pretty crazy, but I think that's just normal in publishing, especially now after COVID. So yeah, I think it definitely made the process a lot longer.
You said earlier that part of the book is based on your own experiences. How, mm-hmm. like, what part? Because I'm like, were you in a secret fight club?
Well, the first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh, no. broke the rule then. You wrote about it.
I can tell the story of what inspired the book, essentially, which is when I was in high school, I volunteered with a filmmaking nonprofit in Atlanta, and their office was in this old kind of abandoned recreation center. Like no one had been using it for a long time until the organization took it over. And so we were in a little room in the back, but they had a full-size gym. I don't know. It's like a high school gym, essentially. It was just in its own little rec center. And one of the guys who worked at the nonprofit, he grew up boxing and did a lot of boxing and sports. I'm not sporty at all. I don't play sports, never have. But he brought in a punching bag and boxing supplies because he had this big gym to himself and that's how he liked to work out. And I saw him doing it and I was like, wow, that actually looks really cool. This might be the one sport that I've ever been kind of interested in trying. And so I asked him to teach me the basics and he agreed, which was very nice of him because I was this very scrawny kid who didn't know what she was doing and he was very patient with me. But when I started boxing, I found that a lot of the stress and anxiety that I was feeling in that time just kind of faded away. And you'll see that a lot if you read in The Ring that Rose has a really similar feeling when she starts boxing as well. It made me feel really strong and empowered. I mean, especially as I mentioned, like I was pretty small and scrawny and I felt like I would never be able to defend myself in some sort of situation that required it. And when I was boxing, I felt for a second like, oh, you know, I can do this. I can do anything. And that was a really amazing feeling because, I mean, my teenage years were dark and, you know, I feel like those are some of the hardest years of everyone's life is being a teenager. So it was really nice and refreshing to find something that made me feel good and empowered. And that's where the spark of inspiration came for the book, was that I knew I wanted to write a book about a girl who tries out boxing and feels that inspiration, the calmness from the anxiety that she was feeling. The Fight Club part came later. I just thought that that would be a really fun way to do it, to kind of take it to that next level. I'm a big romance reader. I always love the Fight Club trope. I just think it's exciting and like, oh, let me tend your wounds and that kind of thing. And that made me excited to write. And honestly, I think that's the most important thing, is that you're excited to write something. Because if you're not excited, you're never going to write it.
See, that got me thinking of what you said about the tending your wounds. I'm a big historical romance reader. And I'm just like, man, how many times have I read that scene where the guy has to... That doesn't have to. He decides to engage in a duel to defend her honor and then gets injured. And I was like, oh my God, so true. So true.
Do you still box? It's a popular trope for a reason. I never get sick of it.
Do you still box recreationally?
No, when I was in college, I did. We had a gym on campus and there were like one or two punching bags up in a room at the top, but I only knew what I had been taught in high school, which was very, very little, like just the basics. And I wanted to keep it up. So I actually asked if any of the like personal trainers on campus would help me. And a frat guy did, which is kind of hilarious to think about because I'm like the opposite of a frat person. I'm just like quietly studying in the library. So he was very intimidating, but very nice. And he taught me more about boxing, but I didn't really keep up with it. And I don't do it now because my gym doesn't have a punching bag, sadly. I think there are some kickboxing classes around that I've been thinking about looking into, but I just haven't done it yet.
Kickboxing is very different from like boxing. I did years of Taekwondo and like competed in that. And like kickboxing, after you like do like real contact sports, is like disappointing because it's more cardio. Yeah. Did you ever do any sparring with it? With the boxing? No. Okay.
It's so funny that I wrote a sports book. If you could talk to me 10 years ago and tell her your first book is about sports, I would laugh in your face. I'm just not a sporty person. And I never would have anticipated that boxing and that like one moment would have such an impact on me and my creativity and the story I wanted to tell. But it did. And I'm proud of it. But it is really funny because I keep getting asked questions about sports and boxing and naturally. And I'm just like, I couldn't really tell you. I'm probably the last person you want to talk to about sports.
But I think that's cool because I think it makes the book more accessible to people who aren't sporty or who, like, I don't consider myself a super sporty person. I did martial arts for a bit in high school. I did, speaking of anxiety, I actually did a one-on-one class with the instructor because I was so petrified of being in a group class. And so that just worked out better for me. I don't gravitate towards sports books, but if you yourself are not a sporty person, that might make the book more accessible to readers who aren't sporty people themselves, as well as sporty people reading the book, you know. Also, I wanted to say your story about getting some boxing help from the frat guy. First of all, nerd and frat bro solidarity. Love that. But also, that would be a really cute idea for your next romance novel.
Yes.
So, the frat boy becomes a personal trainer for the scrawny nerd and they fall in love. Just saying. I would read it.
Well, I do have a second book written. It actually takes place in a frat, but it is about a awkward werewolf who rushes a frat to try and make friends, and he falls for another pledge.
I am super excited for this frat boy werewolf book. It sounds fantastic, and like it's going to be super fun. Is it still going to have elements of sports in it, or is it going to be like totally different? Like you're already adding fantasy into it, so a totally different genre direction?
There's no sports in it, and it's already written. It's on submission right now, so it's trying to find a publisher like where I was within The Ring. So fingers crossed that someone wants to publish it. It's very funny. It is the opposite of In the Ring in that it doesn't take itself very seriously at all. I mean, there are definitely some intense topics, and the main character deals with anxiety because I feel like every character I write is just going to deal with anxiety since that's such an important part of who I am and the struggles that I go through. But the tone is very different. And I think I really did that on purpose because after writing In the Ring, I was just tired. Writing really intense topics takes a lot of energy out of you. And the only thing that would motivate me to write was the opposite of that. I just wanted to write something silly and funny. And again, that's kind of out of my wheelhouse. Like with sports, I'm not the funniest person either. But I had a good time trying it. And I think it turned out pretty well. We'll see.
I love that. I love books that don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, as we seem to have established in other previous podcasts, I like some sad books, but I also like funny stuff too. And as long as it keeps the authenticity feel, which I really liked about In the Ring, as someone who played sports their whole life, still plays sports and like did sparring and taekwondo, like even with Rose being the outsider for the sport, like that also led into it of like, even if you don't know, like she's getting introduced to it, you are too, but like the fights and like the experience still felt authentic because you did have that like experience of like hitting a punching bag, knowing that feeling of like, I can do anything. Look how hard I can hit this bag. And like, it feels real. So if the like your werewolf frat boy has like that feel of real, of like sincere humor, I'm sure it's gonna be super great too.
Thank you. I take it as a huge compliment that someone who is sporty connected to my book. I was hoping when I wrote it that people would not judge me too hard if I got some of the boxing stuff wrong, because it is told through Rose's perspective, who is a beginner like I am. I think that was the thing I was most scared of when the book came out, was actual boxers reading it.
Believe fake it or boxing not, fan.
One of the people who blurbs my book, she's an amazing author and also runs her own boxing gym. She loved it and sent me a really nice message about it. And that was probably one of the best parts of the publishing journey so far, was that, because I had all this tension about it. I was so scared that people were just going to absolutely rip it apart because it's a sports book written by someone who's not sporty. But when I heard from her that she really enjoyed it and connected with it, that just was a huge relief. And that gave me the motivation to keep going and not be too afraid anymore for the book to come out.
I totally get that fear of like imposter syndrome, especially when you're like, I kind of only know like a little bit. Like I play roller derby too. So I've read books with roller derby and I'm like, you've never played and it shows. Like, you know, terminology, but not the vibes. But this had like the vibes. And I was like, the vibes are more important than the correct terminology. Mm-hmm.
Chris is a roller derby girl.
That's awesome. I think roller derby is so cool.
Skates and punches people.
Yes, I love that.
Definitely fell out on that one.
That's all I know about roller derby. You skate and you punch people.
What else do you want? Like, that's true.
This summer, SAIL returns to the Ocean County Library System. SAIL, which stands for Service and Achievement in the Library, is our summer volunteer program open to teens entering 8th through 12th grade. This short but intense summer program provides you work experience and allows you to earn volunteer hours for helping your local branch and the community. If you're interested, simply apply on the Ocean County Library's website. Go to the oceancountylibrary.org/teens/sale. Select your home library and complete the application. Applications go live on May 1st. However, there are limits to the number of volunteers that can participate in person. Sessions will fill on a first-come, first-served basis, so don't wait too long to apply. Lastly, please contact your local branch teen services librarian with any concerns and or questions. We look forward to hearing from you.
So our next question was partially answered already. It's normally when girls are depicted as playing sports in media, they're often a member of a team sport such as soccer, why didn't you instead have Rose join a boxing gym, which is such a solo sport where it's like you and one other person and like you've got no one on your team?
Yeah. Well, I think at the core of the story, I knew I wanted to talk about a girl finding her strength, you know, coming to terms with her past, her trauma, and deciding to be her own person despite everything that has affected her. And so even though like our teams, like our friends and our family and team members and stuff play a really big role in us figuring out who we are, I knew that it needed to be Rose's decision and her decision alone to heal and move forward by the end of the book. So I think boxing gives her that chance to focus on herself in her own head. She's not listening to other people, you know, she's figuring out what makes her feel empowered and what doesn't. And I'd say that she still has a team with the other members of the boxing gym. Those kind of serve as her boxing gym family. And even though they're technically, she's in competition with other fighters, I would say in some way they're all still kind of a team because they have this common thing that they love and a goal. So yeah, she's never really alone, but I think it's the individual part of the sport that helps her figure out those lessons throughout the book. And that was really important to me. I just wanted it to be her decision in the end.
Yeah, really, like when I was reading it, because there's more books about like girls in sports and also like more books dealing with assault, where like what came to mind was Laurie Hall Sanderson's Speak, where at the end it's like the girls field hockey team comes in and swoops up out of nowhere and saves her. And I was like, when I read it, I was like, yeah, cool, like girls working together and like lifting each other up. And but that was also, I can't even guess how many years ago, definitely more than 10. So like also like a shift in time period as well of girl power working together versus like you can also stand alone now. So it was really cool seeing that of like she's not on a like team. And like there's so many like girl sports movies and it's always like soccer, baseball, like working together and focusing on like getting along with your teammates.
Some people just I think relate better to solo sports. Like I always, not again, again, I never really was a super sporty person, but I always applied myself better to solo things, maybe because of anxiety. Like team sports kind of made me nervous.
Oh yeah, me too.
Because when you're in a solo sport, you're only responsible for yourself, and when you're in a team sport, you're part of a whole unit, and that comes with its own kind of nerve-wracking things.
Yeah, that fear of judgment is probably a big reason why I never tried sports growing up, any sort of sport team. When I go to the gym, for example, I've taken a few classes and it's really scary to me being around other people, like knowing that they're watching me and I'm watching them. Maybe that's just an anxiety thing. I'm not sure. That was just so intimidating for me that I just never gave it a shot. Maybe I should have, but yeah, I completely agree with you.
Speaking of gym classes, because I go to the gym, I like the class because I like the element of like competing with other people, but also like you can hide in the background too of like, today is not the day, please don't look at me. Of like, there's so many people where it's like one-on-one, they're like, I'm looking at you. And I'm like, please stop looking at whatever I'm doing wrong. I'm aware it's not going well today.
It's like, please do not perceive me.
Yep.
I've gotten a lot more comfortable going to the gym alone compared to how I used to feel about it. I live right near a gym and I've been going lifting weights actually, which is again, something if you told me 10 years ago that I was doing, I wouldn't believe you. Just I don't know. It's just very out of my wheelhouse. I never thought about that. I was just like cardio and that kind of stuff. But I've really fallen in love with it. Again, kind of ties back to feeling strong. I physically feel strong when I'm lifting weights and it's making a difference in my ability to open jars. But even something small like that is really empowering for me. I love feeling strong and independent. So
I have a bonus question. Like it's not an official question. It's just my bonus question of like, while I was reading it, the book had like an anime vibe to it. And I was wondering if you watch any anime or read any manga that might have influenced you at all.
You're going to be disappointed, but I don't think I've ever watched anime. I don't know any manga either. I'm sorry. I'll give it a shot now that you say it has similar energy to In the Ring. But I couldn't say that that was any of the inspiration just because I haven't really watched it.
No worries. I do also just watch and read a lot of fighting manga anyway. So I'm like, it might have just been like, oh, it's something with fighting in it.
Oh, I thought maybe you were like really into sports anime or something. Like I know Haikyuu is what the basketball is. Haikyuu the basketball or the volleyball anime?
That was the volleyball.
Okay. I don't watch sports anime. I'm more of a shoujo girl.
I have some graphic novels kind of similar. the Jessica Jones graphic novels are like my favorite. Jessica Jones is just my favorite fictional character of all time. So I have all the Alias comics. Highly recommend if you're into books about girls kicking it. But
leading from there, is there any other media of any kind that you'd like to recommend that inspired you or that you think ties in well as a like pairing, like a wine and food pairing, but like for books?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Speak earlier, and I feel like this generation's Speak is Kathleen Glasgow's A Girl in Pieces. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was such a beautiful book. And she's written other books that are similar as well that deal with topics of mental health and grief and stuff in YA. And I think she's done such an amazing job with that genre. Highly recommend if you're into books about serious issues like mental health and stuff. How It Feels to Float as well. Helena Fox, I believe, is the author. That was another book similar to Girl in Pieces about a girl who's going through grief and trauma, those kinds of stories. I loved that book. That's one that I read recently that's really stuck with me. And as far as Fight Club books go, actually, my friend Ayas Bell wrote a book. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Bottoms that just came out, but it has similar energy. It's about an all-girl fight club.
Oh my God.
Similar to In the Ring, the characters are queer. It's a little more lighthearted, and it's like an ensemble cast. There's like five characters that we're following, but it's really great, and it comes out in April. It's called Girls' Night. If anyone's interested, it's available for pre-order past April, I believe. Then the book should be wherever books are sold.
That's so funny, especially because like I know that Bottoms has gotten a lot of positive reactions from viewers. I haven't seen it myself, but that's really fun, especially you could be like, you know, if you liked Bottoms, read In the Ring. But also it's more, I guess, but you have to say like, but also it's way heavier. If you like Bottoms, but you wanted a lot more angst in
exactly.
The Ring.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've been saying it's like Bottoms meets Euphoria.
Oh, that's so good. Excellent. That's how you get people in. You draw them in.
Yes. I have recommendations. I also have like the opposite of recommendations.
Excellent.
Too. And now I've forgotten all the sports books I've ever read. We Are the Wildcats by Siobhan Vivian, which is a girls' field hockey team. Their coach is predatory, and they rebel against their coach. Sounds really cool. It's another like group girl power book.
Oh my God, wait, no, I have read a sports book. I read We Ride Upon Styx by Juan Berry. It's about a girls' field hockey team, but there's also this weird paranormal element that almost witchy, but you're not really sure. It's sort of like an is it or is it not magic going on. But yeah, so I lied. I have read a sports book.
Well, you said Quidditch, which means I lied because in college I played Quidditch for 3 months.
Amazing.
It was very scary. It's a full contact sport.
It is.
I did not know that going into it. I bought my mouth guard, and it's co-ed, so it's me and people of all different sizes who are much larger than me and muscular. But it was super fun. I mean, everyone was very supportive, but I think I just got too afraid of being tackled, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
Did you have, because I had friends that played Quidditch in college as well, did you guys use pool noodles or did you like have different regulations? Because they need like things that were softer and less likely to cause injury. Did you guys use like full brooms or like?
We had.
What was your broom?
They were like metal sticks. It wasn't a pool noodle. It was definitely hard. Like if it whacked you, it would hurt.
Okay. Like way more intense than my friends were playing.
Yeah. Like almost like a hockey stick, but without the. Well, this is a podcast and no one can see what I'm doing with my hands, but like the part, you know,
the part you hit with
the ball, it was just a long stick.
That's way more intense. Like and that was back in like 2009, 2010, where it was like safety regulations, pool noodles, because it's not super regulated, because it's always like a club on campus.
Yeah, yeah, it was a club. We played right outside my dorm on the campus green. It was really fun. They were very nice to me, considering how terrible I was. So I always have a special spot in my heart for the Quidditch team at Florida State University.
Chris, do you have any more sports book recommendations for our readers?
Cheer Up. It's a super cute, it's like a super thin graphic novel, like almost like two comic book, like single issue comic books put together length. the protagonist is a lesbian and the other protagonist is the first trans girl on the cheerleading squad. She was popular before that, and like now that she's kind of like the token popular trans girl on there, and it's about like dealing with that because like the lesbian protagonist is the weird alt kid, but they used to be best friends, of like trying to like reconnect with your best friend, and also like will they start dating or not. It's so cute and so fun, and like I said, it's a super short read. Another sports book is Check Please, which is hockey, based off the webcomic, which is a figure skater ends up joining the hockey team and like living in the like their frat house and trying to be like, hello, I bake and I used to be a figure skater, but you guys don't have figure skating at this college, so here's a pie, please don't hit me while I'm playing hockey. It's so cute and so
that
fun.
Is funny. That sounds really cute. Wait, isn't there, there's a YA book, I haven't read it, but it's called She Drives Me Crazy, and I assume it is a sports book because there are two girls on the cover, one of which is wearing a cheerleading outfit and the other a soccer uniform. So I can only assume it's about sports and love.
Yeah. Oh, there's like a ton. There's been a huge influx of like LGBT sports YA romance.
Interesting.
Yes, that makes me so happy. Like growing up, I mean, I say growing up like it was so long ago. Like I'm not that old. But even when I was 12, 13, there were barely any queer books at all. And the fact that we have a queer sports book niche is crazy, that we can even have niche in the LGBTQYA section, you know? Like, it's really amazing how many diverse queer stories there are now. Yeah, that was really exciting for me when I wrote In the Ring, was to write a bisexual character. It was scary, definitely. It wasn't really something that I announced to the world. And you know, and I felt more comfortable once the book came out, like talking about my own identity and everything. But it made me so excited thinking about my younger self, who would have been thrilled picking up this book and reading about a bisexual character. So, yeah, I think that's amazing.
I love that about the book, too, of like, it was like a whole big deal. It was just like, I had a girlfriend. She's my best friend now. And now I'm into this dude. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like,
yeah, because that's all, because there's a lot of bi erasure in like just the world. I don't think it's something that gets talked about, even amongst LGBTQ conversations. Like you think there's like just like straight and gay, and obviously we're opening up to more of that now, but yeah, I think I didn't know what being bi was when I was in high school. And there's a lot of also bi legitimacy, like I identify as bi but I'm married to a man, and so it's like people are like, but are you though? And I'm like,
oh yeah,
know. Calm down.
Yeah, it's however you're presenting is how the world sees it. And it's like, that's, no, like, it's the pull-out couch comparison of, like, if it's a bed or a couch, it's still a pull-out couch, either
that's
format.
That's funny.
It's the same thing, no matter how you see it as at that moment.
Yeah, I'm on TikTok and Reels and stuff posting about my book, and you would not believe the amount of comments I get from people. Oh, it's a bisexual book. Like, why isn't she with the girl? Or I would have preferred... Someone said that, like, I would have preferred she was with a girl. And I was like, okay, then don't read it. That doesn't make it any less bisexual. You know what I mean? I don't know. That was a very odd response. Like, that was not something that I was expecting to face a lot with In the Ring. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we need to just spend our energy supporting queer authors and not, you know.
Nitpicking, I guess.
Another story, yeah.
And like, the cover on it is like pretty queer-coded cover color-wise.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. They all have the same color palette and like vibe for like.
I was so excited that I got the bisexual flag colors on the cover. I asked my publisher to do that and I wasn't sure they would do it, and they did. And I absolutely love how it turned out. That was really exciting for me.
Yeah, it's a really cool cover. I was like.
They have the best colors. Blue, purple, pink. That, wait. Is it blue, purple, pink?
Yes.
Blue. No, pink, purple, blue in order.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know we're talking.
Everyone just knows purple's the middle.
Yes. I had a last question, unless you have another one, Chris.
Nope.
Sierra, you were relatively young when you started writing the book, and you're still pretty young now. Do you have any advice for young writers who might be listening?
Yeah, I think my best advice, if you're thinking about writing a book, always start with the scene that excites you and keep writing the scenes that excite you. Because every other time that I tried writing, not even books, just like longer stories and stuff, I would write the part that I really was excited about, that kept me up at night, that got that spark of creativity. And then I would get to the scene after and I didn't really care. You know, I'm like, okay, well now the big thing happened. Now she's going home and living her life. I didn't really care to write that. And because I didn't, I closed the file and I didn't really open it again. And so when I started writing In the Ring, my goal was to just keep writing the scenes that excited me. Don't worry about what comes in the middle. I can fix that later. I'm just going to write it beginning to end, the scenes that I want to write. And I did it. And when it was over, I had a bunch of scenes that didn't really correlate because there was no transitions in between. But I had so many words at that point and characters that I'd fallen in love with that I knew it would be worth going in and filling in those gaps that I didn't really want to do when I first started to write the book. And I think that's a big reason why In the Ring even got published and I finished it was because my goal was just to have fun. And once I'd reached a certain point where I felt like, okay, well, I have to finish it now. You know, I've developed the characters and the plot. So yeah, that's my biggest piece of advice. Write what excites you. Write something that you're passionate about. Don't write to a market or write with a fear of your friends and your family reading it, because I certainly did that for a long time. And I limited myself to what I was writing. I mean, not everything you write has to be published. It can just belong to you, you know? It's always something to keep in mind.
That's great. I think that's really thoughtful advice.
Yeah, especially like the attitude of like, if you're writing, you're a writer. Of like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're published. If you're doing any active writing, you're a writer.
Yeah, I think about that with fan fiction all the time.
They're writers. They're such prolific. I found a person that has 150 fanfics in the same fandom. And I was like, what do you do besides write?
Yeah, I think about that a lot in the fact of like, you know, I struggle with writing a lot because I feel like there's a lot of pressure and I'm just like, I could just write fan fiction and that would be, you know, creatively fulfilling as a hobby, you know, like to write, because I struggle with getting myself to write because of the pressure of writing something really good. And I'm just, not that fan fiction isn't good, but you know, it's just for the people writing it. So I can have considered writing fan fiction as a way to creatively get started, but I haven't yet.
Fan fiction's what got me into writing. I've written so many fan fictions. I will not tell you where to find them. I have gotten that question before. And honestly, when I was writing In the Ring, I was like, I'm kind of worried people are going to think this reads too much like a fan fiction, because it was very angsty and dark and it had fan fiction-y vibes. But when I took a step back, I was like, but this is what I wanted to read when I was 16. Like, this is what got me excited. I was up all night reading fan fiction. So what's wrong with writing a book that reads like a fan fiction? I think that fan fiction is completely valid. I mean, I figure out parts of myself through reading fan fiction growing up. Like, it was something that I leaned on and that made me feel less alone in the world. And, oh man, I'm sorry, I'm going on a bit of a rant, but
that's,
I just
totally frustrated
when things need to be more literary to be taken seriously. I just don't agree with that. I think something can be angsty and fun and dark and still have really important literary meaning and like belong in a library and a school and stuff. So I always get really excited when librarians like you guys or teachers or whatever reach out to me, because when I wrote the book, I was like, oh, no one, you know, none of these schools are ever going to want this, because it's just not this beautiful literary masterpiece. Like, it's just kind of this raw, angsty story. And I have been hearing from librarians and teachers and stuff saying that they liked it and that they want their students to read it. And that is so cool. Just, I never thought it would happen. And now that it is happening, I feel like really excited and honored. And I hope that students do read it and feel connected to the story.
That's so awesome. I mean, I can't speak for all librarians, but all the ones I've met, we're not book snobs. I always say, like, a book is a book is a book. If it has printed words on a page, it's a book. And if you like reading it, it's a book, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't call a Chinese takeout menu a book, but maybe you could. Maybe a Chinese takeout menu is a book. But yeah, I think that's really awesome.
I clearly read fan fiction and like the angsty fan fiction. So I was like, yes. I'm like, did not even register me. It's like, oh, it's like super angsty. I'm like, this is what I read anyway when I'm not reading books. And even when I am reading books, I go for the angsty ones, because I have been since I was 13.
Me too.
I think actually a lot of romance fiction reads like fan fiction to people, because most of the time when you're writing fan fiction, it's because you want to write about two characters getting together 90% of the time. But I think when I first started reading romance a couple of years ago and I fell into a rabbit hole of romance, I was like, this is so addicting. And then I got that. It reminded me of when I would read fan fiction. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's why the romance genre is so amazing and so underappreciated. That's another, like what you were just saying about not being taken seriously. as a genre, romance is like that. Some people who are incorrect claim that it's not a real book or not real reading. And I'm like, ever since I started reading romance novels, I have doubled my reading rate because I'm so addicted to them. So a book is a book is a book.
Amen to that. I think as long as people are reading and feeling connected to characters, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and there's no matter what, someone's going to connect in some way to like writing. So like, even if it's one person, that's valid. And like, if that person's you, that's still valid. Writing for yourself. That's what fanfiction is. That's what most writing should be. It should be for you, because then there's always someone else out there for it as well. Would you like to plug any of your social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's all my name, at Sierra Isley. I have a website as well if you want to see where I'm at. I'm doing a few book events coming up in Georgia and DC. Maybe more. We'll find out. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This is really exciting. It's awesome to be able to talk to librarians. Something that I never thought would happen. I think you guys are so cool. So I'm really honored that I got to be on this podcast. And thanks for the work that you're doing to connect readers with books.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. It was a pleasure to have you. It was great talking to you, hearing about all the different things that influenced you, that influenced this book. And we hope that more people continue to read your book.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to check out the Ocean County Library's website for more podcasts and events. All titles mentioned in today's episode can be found through the Ocean County Library, free with your library card. Until next time, happy reading.
This summer, SAIL returns to the Ocean County Library System. SAIL, which stands for Service and Achievement in the Library, is our summer volunteer program open to teens entering 8th through 12th grade. This short but intense summer program provides you work experience and allows you to earn volunteer hours for helping your local branch and the community. If you're interested, simply apply on the Ocean County Library's website. Go to the oceancountylibrary.org/teens/sale. Select your home library and complete the application. Applications go live on May 1st. However, there are limits to the number of volunteers that can participate in person. Sessions will fill on a first-come, first-served basis, so don't wait too long to apply. Lastly, please contact your local branch teen services librarian with any concerns and or questions. We look forward to hearing from you.